Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, Kennywood is open, and it might be in legal trouble. We're digging into the new lawsuit from a disgruntled season pass holder. I have been getting angsty about all the pests you do and do not need to worry about this summer, and producer Sophia Lowe is sharing some fun new ways to enjoy a bunch of shows and museums for free all summer long. It's Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. I'm with CityCast Sophia Lowe. Good morning.
Good morning. How was your weekend, Megan? I remember at the end of the day on Friday, you were telling me you'd be keeping an eye on some sports ball news.
I did. I watched a lot of sports ball. I didn't events around the sports ball. Yeah, it was the NFL draft, which seems to have gone really well. I will keep this tailored to your interests, though, Sophia.
thank you.
It's like one of the most hopeful moments of the year for football people, I feel like, because no matter how bad your team was the year before, this is your moment to acquire more help for future seasons. So people get excited and like try to game it out and talk about like, oh, we need this person and we need this person. It's like putting together a puzzle, but they're humans. For our purposes, I will share just these two things. Number one, it is worth looking up the students' videos. The Steelers have a bunch on their channels right now. It's always these families and friends gathered in rooms with a camera trained on the actual guy. Everyone waiting to see where their sons are going to go play, because it like actually is like a draft. It's like a lottery sort of. And it's just so cute. But there's always one or two videos like this every season where the parents and guardians are just losing it. They're so excited for their son, who usually is like too overwhelmed to show real feelings. But they're hugging and everyone is so happy. But also in the frame is a college girlfriend who is very obviously not as secure in this relationship as she thinks she is.
Ooh, drama.
There's a podcast company in Philly that posted one of these on their Instagram, and it had me rolling. We will post it in the show notes, but poor gal. Anyway, I know all of this stuff is not on your radar. So you tell me what newsier updates you have for us this week.
Okay, this sports stuff might not be on my radar, but I love relationship gossip, so I will be checking that video out. But in the meantime, I've got some
news. I will
send
it to you when we're done recording.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. In the meantime, I've got some news about Kennywood. The park kicked off the season earlier this month, and some people are upset because the Steel Curtain roller coaster is still closed for modifications and will be all year. Tall black and yellow coaster with all the loop-de-loops.
Yeah, I like that we're keeping the Steelers focused at the top of the show. Yeah, I really like that one. Have you ridden it before?
No, I haven't, because it was closed last year too, and I'm really upset about it. Those people, that's me. I love roller coasters, especially ones that are tall, fast, have a good drop. But one person is so upset about the closure that he's suing Kennywood over it.
I have seen the headlines about this, but I haven't actually read the court filing. I like digging into those.
Well, put this one on your list, but basically the argument comes down to false advertising, because Kennywood didn't announce that the Steel Curtain would be closed until right after the season started. So that would mean a bunch of people had already bought season passes. So Joshua Miller, he's the person suing Kennywood, is alleging that the park knew the roller coaster would be closed for the season. And they just didn't share that info so people would get excited and buy that season pass.
How much is a season pass now? Like, I hear people fussing about the cost of it, but I've never actually looked that up.
I look to see if it might be worth it. There's different tiers to a season pass, so it's going to vary on things like whether you also want preferred parking or if you also want access to the Sandcastle Water Park.
The answer is always yes.
I don't think you get it with the absolute cheapest season pass, which is $99, and then the most expensive one is a little over $200.
Whoa. I mean, it's steep, but I guess it's not that bad just because single day tickets are so expensive now.
Right. Like if you go even twice, it basically pays for itself, because the normal price for tickets is $75 a day. But there is a promotion going on right now. So tickets are a little over $37 if you plan on going through May 19th, which is what I'm doing to save money.
I have not investigated their offerings as the mom of a toddler. I will have to Google that later. I mean, I guess I get the frustration, right? It sounds like an interesting legal argument for one. But also there's just like a ton of attractions at Kennywood. Like there's lots of stuff to do even with the one big main coaster offline.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like it's just one roller coaster. But I found a quote from the lawyer. This was reported by KDKA. He said, quote, "If you're going to take the big marquee attraction out of the equation, you are diminishing the value of what these people paid for."
Man, no love for the Phantom's Revenge in that one. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I'm with this guy, Joshua, on principle, but I'm very interested in a court case involving the value of anything at Kennywood. Mm-hmm. Although, if memory serves, because we've shared this in our Hey Pittsburgh newsletter, I don't think the plaintiff is looking for like a lot of money because he's kind of doing it in this class action way.
Yeah. So the Trib reported that Joshua Miller wants his $100 back or $100 for anyone who bought the season pass before the roller coaster closure was announced. So if you did pick that cheapest option, that would cover your pass for the year.
I mean, honestly, seems fair. And I think it's worth keeping in mind, too, like who owns Kennywood. Palace Entertainment is based in Homestead, but their parent company is multinational and its parent company is an investment firm. So like $100 for a few mad yinzers feels like it probably won't hurt them all that much. But let's wrap this up on something positive. What are you going to be looking forward to for your Kennywood trip this year whenever you make it?
I am so excited for the new Potato Patch bumper cars. They are super cute. The bumper cars look like a little basket of fries. There's cheese sauce and even a giant fork as part of the design.
Are they actually working, though? Because they're never working anytime I've been.
I know. I'm hoping that like these are new shiny ones that are working, because last time when I went, there were, I think, like 4 or 5 bumper cars operating. So that's not bumper cars. That was me like chasing people in a loop.
I know. Yeah. It's usually like a huge mass in one corner. And then there's like 3 or 4.
And the line's so long for them.
The show today is brought to you by an incredible local resource, AIDS Free Pittsburgh, and their pledge to end the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Allegheny County by 2030. If that is a cause that is close to your heart, make sure you're around for their biggest event of the summer, the 6th annual Too Hot for July. It is a party, but it is also a chance to get confidential HIV and STI testing for free, plus info on the incredible preventative medicines we have now to keep yins happy, healthy, and feeling your most confident out on the town. So come on out to Allegheny Commons East Park on Thursday, May 30th. Yes, July is in the name, but the event is in May. Don't get confused. May 30th from 4 to 10 p.m. There will be DJ sets, a health fair and marketplace, a ballroom-inspired dance battle, cash bar, food trucks, and more. Plus, a performance by Tony Award winner Alex Newell, a.k.a. Unique from Glee. This is all thanks to True T Pittsburgh and so many folks doing the good work out here in the community. So do not miss out. Learn more at TooHotForJuly.com.
Megan, I know you've also got a topic that you're very passionate about today as well.
Yes, I have seen so many people online and in TV news talking about how we're going to get all these cicadas this year in Pittsburgh, and it's just not true.
Okay, I haven't seen that, but if the animal isn't fuzzy, I don't really pay that much attention. But like, don't we get cicadas every year? I definitely heard the droning buzz buzz while chilling in my backyard last year.
Yeah, so I think it's important for people to know there are different kinds of cicadas. And yes, there is one, just one, that we have here in Pittsburgh every year. We can expect it this summer. But those are our normal ones. They're annual cicadas, a.k.a., I think you'll like this, dog day cicadas.
That's a fuzzy animal. Yes.
See, you can remember it now. But the ones in the news everywhere this year are periodic cicadas. And they come out in cycles called broods. And the Pittsburgh area is not expected to get them.
Okay, so then, like, why are we getting a bunch of stories saying that we are?
I don't know. I think because people are getting caught up in the madness of it all. They are coming to parts of the U.S. They'll converge, and there will be more bugs doing bug things, but not in Pittsburgh. Not that bugs have the utmost respect for things like state lines and national borders or whatever, but, you know, no big broods here, no convergences, just our normal big guys.
So then where are those like periodic cicada broods converging, if not in Pittsburgh? And do they have a fun name? Cat Day cicadas, baby.
No Cat Day cicadas, unfortunately. This year, everyone is watching for broods 13 and 19. I'm ashamed to say how hard that was for my brain. They all have fun Roman numeral names, and I really have to think hard about it. But the periodic cicadas, they're smaller than our annual ones. And the cycles of these two broods are each pretty long. So one of them's 13 years and the other one's 17 years. So that's why people make such a big fuss about it when not only do they arrive, but when they converge. So both of those broods are coming out at the same time. Our annual cicadas here in Pittsburgh are like greenish. And the periodic ones that are going to happen elsewhere, they are a little bit smaller and black and they have red eyes.
So then people are just talking about this because it'll be more cicadas than usual?
It will be way more cicadas than usual if you are in the area that will experience it. So that's going to be like the South and the Midwest. And a point of clarification here, in this instance, we are not considered the Midwest. This will be mostly from mid-May and into June, depending on where you are. There's a wonderful breakdown of all of this through a university in Connecticut. I will make sure we share it. But yeah, if you like cicadas, it should be sort of cool to see there because this is the first time in like a couple hundred years where these specific broods of periodic cicadas will be all above ground hanging out at the same time.
But not in Pittsburgh, which seems like good news for me. But fewer bugs sound like a delight for my backyard reading purposes. But last time we were in the office, I remember you saying something about zombie cicadas now.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Are they coming to Pittsburgh and are they going to bite me? I know that's more like vampire-ish, but bugs, monsters, all of it.
No, they are not coming to Pittsburgh. They're not supposed to bite you. They don't infect you. Zombie cicadas are not quite like zombies in the human realm, I guess. No, it's a fungus that affects the periodical broods. Okay. So I want to, and this one is right up your alley. I want to shout out this headline from the news outlet Them. Great content. But also this headline is just hilarious. Quote, a sexually transmitted fungus is making trillions of cicadas hypersexual and gay.
Trillions, that's a lot, but I'm interested in the rest.
I want to shout out my girl Kylie Kosinski at WESA because we were helping bring this important message to Pittsburgh 5 years ago when we were producing its daily show, The Confluence, RIP. But anyway, the TLDR of it all is that scientists from our region were really hopeful that some of this fungus, the periodic cicada fungus, could be useful for pharmaceuticals someday.
Wow, you are so ahead of your time. But also back up. Hypersexual and gay. You haven't explained that part yet.
Yeah. So basically, both of these periodical broods can get infected with this fungus that is sexually transmitted. And the fungus makes the cicadas' genitals fall off, but they still enjoy having a good time. So male cicadas are trying to mate with female cicadas, but males will also pretend to be females and attract other male cicadas. It's a big old happy family in the cicada world.
Oh, good. Happy early pride to the gay cicadas.
And it can get a little graphic. So if you want to delve down that rabbit hole, there's a lot of content out there for you.
I, for one, love that these bugs are still trying to get frisky. I think I am becoming more pro cicada now.
I love cicadas. I think they're a blast. I really enjoyed them when I was a kid. I'd have little whole little armies with the cicada shells. It's gross, but fun. It's like a feral child situation.
I'm not sure we would be friends if we were both children and I saw you doing that.
I also played video games, Sophia. We would have been fine.
Okay. You could have your bug time and then come join me inside.
I'm a well-rounded child.
So while we're talking about bugs, though, any word on the spotted lanternflies? Will they be swarming? I want to know if birds will eat the bugs now. My cat Pistachio last year, she would bat the lantern flies if they came in, but you wouldn't kill them.
Did you have lantern flies come into the house?
Sometimes I'd have like the backyard door propped open a little bit and they just kind of hopped right in. Then we got rid of all of our like grapevines outside and that fixed the problem.
Man. Well, I think we have to wait until lantern flies actually start hatching to figure out whether Pittsburgh birds are going to eat them the way that some Philly birds did.
Okay, that's true.
I think it's worth keeping on your radar. Lanternfly season is approaching. The eggs should be hatching soon. So if you spot eggs, you can crush them now and destroy them so they never hatch. Penn State Extension has a really good resource on what the lanternfly eggs look like, since the egg masses can be covered up depending on where they lay.
Oh, gotcha. Well, squishing the eggs seems way easier than killing the bugs because they are getting too good at hopping around and evading me all the time.
Okay, Sophia, the flip side of paying too much for Kennywood, you've got some good news about free tickets and other fun stuff to do all summer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's mostly museums and cultural centers that are going to be free. We've got so many museums here in the city, and I've been slowly making my way through all of them, which is why I'm so excited that RAD has a summer staycation program that's starting up, and this will give folks free tickets to a bunch of spots this summer. So that includes all four Carnegie Museums, Phipps, the Aviary, the Zoo and Aquarium, the Mattress Factory, the list goes on.
I am very excited to get into all of these places for free. You do have to have an Allegheny County Library card to participate. If you don't have one, it's very easy to sign up. Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about RAD programs on the show before. RAD is the Regional Asset District. You can get RAD passes at the library to get into all kinds of attractions for free all year long. This one's a little bit special, but RAD is just an incredible resource all the way around.
Exactly. And you can find all of this at radpass.org if you lose track of what I'm saying. But the gist is that tickets will open up on May 1st and run through August 31st. So you can get single tickets for these attractions or reserve up to four tickets. So they say that they'll give out 100,000 free tickets over all 4 months.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a lot. The first wave opens tomorrow. I have my calendar marked.
I mean, I logged in actually just before we started recording. I guess I'm pleased to report that there are no tickets available at basically any museum right now, which makes sense because typically RAD adds new passes for their spots at the beginning of every month. And it's the very end of April, so no passes right this minute. I just think it's really cool that this is happening, that folks are clearly using the service during regular months, and that they're making this like even bigger push than usual for, you know, the summer months.
Yeah. So if you also want to get a jumpstart like Megan, go to radpass.org. You need your library card and PIN number. It's super easy to register, like you just said, Megan, and then you can print out your ticket or just download on your phone, which is probably what I'm going to do. I will lose a physical piece of paper.
Every time. Also, remember to be courteous if you're booking tickets. Like, don't just grab a bunch because they're available. Make sure it's something you can actually go to.
Yeah, but in case something does pop up, the website also explains that you can cancel your ticket reservation so other people can hopefully get those tickets. And I actually had to do this for a RAD ticket I got in the fall, and people were really nice about it and helped me. I gave back the tickets, no problem. So definitely something to keep in mind.
That's really good to know because I have looked at a lot of these over the years and I've never actually reserved one because I am terrible at committing to things in advance. And I just didn't want to waste a spot if it turned out I actually couldn't make it.
Well, I guess now you know you can reserve something. I wouldn't reserve a ton, but just like one or two.
No, one at a time. We're firmly in the one at a time territory.
You should come with me to the zoo. I also love the aviary, so I'll be putting that on my list too.
I think I would really like to go, now that I'm looking at the full list, to an arts and lectures event. I love their guest authors and poets. I've paid for tickets in the past. But also, I think I might want to try out the Botanic Garden. Once again, a little ashamed, but I've never been there and I've heard good things about it over the years.
Ooh, I definitely come with you to that. I have been there, but only during like the winter light show. And I'm sure it is so different this time of the year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, while you're scheming for the summer, there are a couple more arts organizations cooking up stuff for the warmer months. CLO, for example, is offering a $10 shuttle to their shows from Cranberry, Monroeville, Robinson, and Washington, PA. Really looking out for all our suburbanites out there. They've got a show list and full schedule on their website, which we will put in our show notes.
That's awesome. There's the shuttle. Paying for your downtown parking is a nightmare, or so I've been told. I always take the bus.
paying is a pain, but finding it is equally as big a pain. The CLO is also offering childcare during a few shows. So that'll be for kids 3 to 12. Looks like it's for The Color Purple, Music Man, and West Side Story. My kiddo is, alas, too young for it, but I love to see it. And if you've got kiddos ages 3 to 18 who really like musical theater, there's also a family pass option that lets you add some children's tickets for $10. So same shows plus Seussical.
Incredible. I love deals. And if you need even more suggestions for all the ways to experience everything the city has to offer, you should stick around with us for tomorrow's episode. We are doing our guide to Pittsburgh in May.
Yes.
And as we're wrapping up, Megan, I know there's also one more news item that you're watching as we're headed into the rest of the week.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's been watching this. Bit of a pivot from all of the lighter stuff we've been talking about today. But I'm watching Pitt's student-led encampment over the war on Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
They're demanding that the university disclose its investments and then divest from anything that supports the Israeli government. There's been a rally. They had a march. There have been speakers, tons of people there this past weekend, which coincided with commencement. Also over the weekend, two people were arrested. Sophia, I don't know if this squares with what you've read or seen, but the latest update I saw was from WESA.
Mm-hmm.
As we're recording this, the protesters are planning to leave Monday night, but organizers are planning to continue pressuring the university. And the Pittsburgh chief of police is also holding a press conference today, that's Tuesday, to talk about police response to all these protests.
Yeah, I've been following all of this, too, and going to the protests. In terms of the student-led response that's happening here, there are a lot of local outlets reporting. But if you want updates from the organizers, I recommend following Pitt Apartheid Divest on Instagram, all one word. They've been posting about their protests and have more detailed information on what they're demanding from the university. But it's also really important to remember that the issue here isn't just what's happening to students, it's also what they're standing against, all of the atrocities that Palestinians are facing in Gaza.
We'll be watching and following, and we promise to keep you informed.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. Reminder, everything we talk about the podcast lives online forever on our website. That's pittsburgh.citycast.fm. And almost everything we talk about goes in our show notes, too. So don't sleep on the show notes. We work really hard on those. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you soon. That was a beautiful read, but I think, unless it Riverside blipped, you said last time we were office.
Rats.